Hi there, Happy New Year, and welcome to episode 428 of the new LifeSpring Family Audio Bible. I'm Steve Webb, your host. The LifeSpring Family Audio Bible is the podcast that helps you achieve consistency in reading the Bible, and we have a new episode for you every Monday through Friday. We're reading through the Bible on two tracks. Track one is the Old Testament, and track two is the New Testament. Each day we alternate those tracks, and the shows are usually between 10 and 15 minutes long. If this is your first time to join us here at the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible, I hope you like what you hear and that you'll be back every Monday through Friday. If you're a long-time listener, you know how much I appreciate you. For those of you who are new, you might want to know who I am. Instead of taking a lot of time to introduce myself, I'll say just a word or two and then suggest that if you want to know more, just go to steve.lifespringmedia.com. There's a bio there that I wrote some time ago where you can find out more. But here's a brief sketch. I'm a husband, father, and grandfather. My wife and I just celebrated our 26th wedding anniversary on New Year's Eve, and I asked Jesus to be my Savior when I was a teenager. As is common to most believers, I've had my ups and downs, but through it all, God has been faithful, even when I was not. In my darkest hours, when I doubted that He would never use me again, He wooed me back to Him and showed me what grace was all about. In 2004, he called me to begin what would be the very first Christian podcast, and I've been podcasting now for more than 11 years. I'm a student of the Bible, and I've taught every age group, from little children all the way up to senior adults in the churches that I've attended. If you want to put me into some sort of a denominational category, I'd say that I'm a Protestant, Evangelical, Christian. I was saved in a Southern Baptist church, I've fellowshipped in several non-denominational churches, and I've attended my present church for nearly 30 years, most of them not as a member, but became a member about 3 years ago. It's an Assembly of God church. To me, the label on the front of the building is far less important than whether the body of believers in the building and the pastor adhere to the Word of God. Okay, enough about me. Let's get to today's reading. And again, for the new listeners, after the reading, I'll have some comments about what we've read together. Our text today is 2 Kings chapters 15 and 16, and we'll read from the New International Version. Let's begin. 2 Kings chapter 15. In the 27th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, Azariah, son of Amaziah, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 52 years. His mother's name was Jechaliah. She was from Jerusalem. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father Amaziah had done. The high places, however, were not removed. The people continued to offer sacrifices and burn incense there. The Lord afflicted the king with leprosy until the day he died, and he lived in a separate house. Jotham, the king's son, had charge of the palace and governed the people of the land. As for the other events of Azariah's reign and all he did, are they not written in the book of the annals of the kings of Judah? Azariah rested with his ancestors and was buried near them in the city of David, and Jotham his son succeeded him as king. In the 38th year of Azariah, king of Judah, Zechariah, son of Jeroboam, became king of Israel in Samaria, and he reigned 6 months. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, as his predecessors had done. He did not turn away from the sins of Jeroboam of Nebat, which he had caused Israel to commit. Shallum, son of Jabesh, conspired against Zechariah. He attacked him in front of the people, assassinated him, and succeeded him as king. The other events of Zechariah's reign are written in the book of the annals of the kings of Israel. So the word of the Lord spoken to Jehu was fulfilled. Your descendants will sit on the throne of Israel to the fourth generation. Shallum, son of Jabesh, became king in the 39th year of Uzziah, king of Judah, and he reigned in Samaria 1 month. Then Menahem, son of Gadai, went from Tirzah up to Samaria. He attacked Shallum, son of Jabesh, in Samaria, assassinated him, and succeeded him as king. The other events of Shallum's reign and the conspiracy he led are written in the book of the annals of the kings of Israel. At that time, Menahem, starting out from Tirzah, attacked Tifsah and everyone in the city and its vicinity because they refused to open their gates. He sacked Tifsah and ripped open all the pregnant women. In the 39th year of Azariah, king of Judah, Menahem, son of Gadai, became king of Israel, and he reigned in Samaria 10 years. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord. During his entire reign, he did not turn away from the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, which he had caused Israel to commit. Then Pul, king of Assyria, invaded the land, and Menahem gave him 1,000 talents of silver to gain his support and strengthen his own hold on the kingdom. Menahem exacted this money from Israel. Every wealthy person had to contribute 50 shekels of silver to be given to the king of Assyria. So the king of Assyria withdrew and stayed in the land no longer. As for the other events of Menahem's reign and all he did, are they not written in the book of the annals of the kings of Israel? Menahem rested with his ancestors, and Pekahiah his son succeeded him as king. In the 50th year of Azariah, king of Judah, Pekahiah, son of Menahem, became king of Israel in Samaria, and he reigned 2 years. Pekahiah did evil in the eyes of the Lord. He did not turn away from the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, which he had caused Israel to commit. One of his chief officers, Pekah, son of Remaliah, conspired against him. Taking 50 men of Gilead with him, he assassinated Pekahiah, along with Argob and Ariah, in the citadel of the royal palace at Samaria. So Pekah killed Pekahiah and succeeded him as king. The other events of Pekahiah's reign and all he did are written in the book of the annals of the kings of Israel. In the 52nd year of Azariah, king of Judah, Pekah, son of Remaliah, became king of Israel in Samaria, and he reigned 20 years. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord. He did not turn away from the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, which he had caused Israel to commit. In the time of Pekah, king of Israel, Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, came and took Ijon, Abel-Beth-Maacah, Genoa, Kedesh, and Hazor. He took Gilead and Galilee, including all the land of Naphtali, and deported the people to Assyria. Then Hoshea, son of Elah, conspired against Pekah, son of Remaliah. He attacked and assassinated him, and then succeeded him as king in the 20th year of Jotham, son of Uzziah. As for the other events of Pekah's reign and all he did, are they not written in the book of the annals of the kings of Israel? In the 2nd year of Pekah, son of Remaliah, king of Israel, Jotham, son of Uzziah, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 16 years. His mother's name was Jerusha, daughter of Zadok. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father Uzziah had done. The high places, however, were not removed. The people continued to offer sacrifices and burn incense there. Jotham rebuilt the upper gate of the temple of the Lord. As for the other events of Jotham's reign and what he did, are they not written in the book of the annals of the kings of Judah? In those days the Lord began to send Rezin, king of Aram, and Pekah, son of Remaliah, against Judah. Jotham rested with his ancestors and was buried with them in the city of David, the city of his father, and Ahaz his son succeeded him as king. 2 Kings chapter 16. In the 17th year of Pekah, son of Remaliah, Ahaz, son of Jotham, king of Judah, began to reign. Ahaz was 20 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 16 years. Unlike David his father, he did not do what was right in the eyes of the Lord his God. He followed the ways of the kings of Israel, and even sacrificed his son in the fire, engaging in the detestable practices of the nations the Lord had driven out before the Israelites. He offered sacrifices and burnt incense at the high places, on the hilltops, and under every spreading tree. Then Rezin, king of Aram, and Pekah, son of Remaliah, king of Israel, marched up to fight against Jerusalem and besieged Ahaz, but they could not overpower him. At that time, Rezin, king of Aram, recovered Elath for Aram by driving out the people of Judah. Edomites then moved into Elath and have lived there to this day. Ahaz sent messengers to say to Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, "I am your servant and vassal. Come up and save me out of the hand of the king of Aram and of the king of Israel, who are attacking me." And Ahaz took the silver and gold found in the temple of the Lord and in the treasuries of the royal palace and sent it as a gift to the king of Assyria. The king of Assyria complied by attacking Damascus and capturing it. He deported its inhabitants to Kir and put Rezin to death. Then King Ahaz went to Damascus to meet Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria. He saw an altar in Damascus and sent to Uriah the priest a sketch of the altar, with detailed plans for its construction. So Uriah the priest built an altar in accordance with all the plans that King Ahaz had sent from Damascus and finished it before King Ahaz returned. When the king came back from Damascus and saw the altar, he approached it and presented offerings on it. He offered up his burnt offering and grain offering, poured out his drink offering, and splashed the blood of his fellowship offerings against the altar. As for the bronze altar that stood before the Lord, he brought it from the front of the temple, from between the new altar and the temple of the Lord, and put it on the north side of the new altar. King Ahaz then gave these orders to Uriah the priest. On the large new altar, offer the morning burnt offering and the evening grain offering, the king's burnt offering and his grain offering, and the burnt offering of all the people of the land, and their grain offering and their drink offering. Splash against this altar the blood of all the burnt offerings and sacrifices, but I will use the bronze altar for seeking guidance. And Uriah the priest did just as King Ahaz had ordered. King Ahaz cut off the side panels and removed the basins from the movable stands. He removed the sea from the bronze bulls that supported it and set it on a stone base. He took away the Sabbath canopy that had been built at the temple and removed the royal entryway outside the temple of the Lord in deference to the king of Assyria. As for the other events of the reign of Ahaz and what he did, are they not written in the book of the annals of the kings of Judah? Ahaz rested with his ancestors and was buried with them in the city of David, and Hezekiah his son succeeded him as king. May God bless the reading of His Word. Before we get into today's comments, again, for the new believers, I'd like to point out that we are in the midst of reading through the Bible. This is actually about the fourth or fifth time we've gone through the entire Bible. I would encourage you to stick with us and stay current with us, even though it's the beginning of the year and you might have planned it starting in Genesis and working your way through to Revelation. As I said at the beginning of the show, we are reading through on two tracks. Tomorrow we'll be on the New Testament track, and we are in the first book of the New Testament, the book of Matthew. We'll be working right through to Revelation. However, if you do want to start with Genesis, you can go to bible.lifespringmedia.com and find the search box in the sidebar. Search for Genesis chapter 1 and listen to those episodes. So far, on this time through the Bible, we've completed the first five books of the Old Testament, or the Pentateuch, the books of wisdom, which are Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, and we're now working through the books of history. And then we'll jump to the major and minor prophets. It should take the better part of 2016 to complete the Old Testament while we continue on through the New Testament every other day. Okay, about today's reading. 1 and 2 Kings are books that give brief accounts of the kings of Israel and Judah. More details are given in 1 and 2 Chronicles and the other Old Testament books of history. Here in chapters 15 and 16, most of the kings we read about did not follow the Lord, and the times were spiritually very dark indeed. Most of the kings we read about today, as we read, did not turn away from the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, which he had caused Israel to commit. Well, what were the sins of Jeroboam? They were the worship of idols, golden calves, and he built Asherah poles, and he encouraged the people to worship other gods. What is the first of the Ten Commandments? I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And then when Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? This is the one he responded with. So Jeroboam and many of the kings after him went directly against this very first greatest commandment. The amazing thing to me is that God is so loving and patient that he didn't completely wash his hands of these, his chosen people. Through all of these dark times, when the kings and the people turned their backs on him, he did not forget his promise to Abraham that his descendants would be God's people, and God's promise to David that his descendants would always be on the throne. But then, here we are in 2016, and God has still not washed his hands of mankind. He has made a way for anyone who will believe in his son Jesus to have eternal life and a relationship with God. And most of the world is as far from God as those we read about today. Still, God is patient. And to any who ask forgiveness, he is faithful and just to forgive. People talk about the vengeful, angry God of the Old Testament. I'm sorry, I don't see that at all. Sure, there were times that he punished his people, but it was as a loving father punishes a wayward child. He does it because of his love for the child, so that they will not be harmed by the consequences of bad behavior or wrong decisions. That really is the thread we see all through the Bible, from the first page to the last. God is love. He is madly in love with you, and He has done everything to make it possible to reconcile your bad decisions so that there is no longer anything keeping you apart from Him. That is the kind of God that I can love and serve gladly. How about you? Your thoughts? If you'd like to leave a comment, email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com or leave a comment on the show notes page at 428.lifespringmedia.com. And you can always tweet me at @_SteveWeb_, and there's two B's in web. Put a #LifespringMedia. Hey, how about telling a friend about the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible? What a great way to start a new year. Every year, countless people make New Year's resolutions to read their Bibles every day. Well, that's what the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible is all about, isn't it? Point your friends to bible.lifespringmedia.com and help them to subscribe to the podcast. I'll see you tomorrow when we read Matthew chapter 18. Until then, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Thank you for being here. Bye.